Hello, everyone. My name is Gino Barbaro, host of the 100 Year Real Estate Investor, the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Today, I'm joined by two Jake and Gino students, Francesca and Jim Apostolou, and they're both here to share their story of transformation, adopting the growth mindset, and their experience with the 100 Year Real Estate Investor. Without further ado, welcome Jim and Francesca.
Hey, Gino.
Hey, Gino. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on, guys. And you know, the first question, we've known each other for several years now. I used to own a restaurant in New York. Jim and Francesca came to the restaurant, were customers. One day they come down to this live event that Jake and Gino are having. And I think that's where the transformation started. I don't want to start the story for them, but Francesca, where did the story of transformation start for you? Where did that growth mindset really start taking hold in your guys' lives?
Yeah, so we were at a point, educating ourselves rather, and multifamily. And so we're at a point where, okay, I think we're learning, but how do we take action? So we ended up coming down to MM3 in October of 2019. And I will never forget the energy that we both got there and the education and the people we were surrounding ourselves with that I said to Jim when I left, I said, I want more, you know, I need more. So then we joined Jake and Gino in November of 2019, right after MM3. And here we are. I mean, it's the best decision we ever made. And yes, it's all about taking action.
You told me off camera that your wife is going to crush it and you're not. I want to hear your story. I want to hear the passion from you. I want to hear, Jim, you must have been inundated from Francesca saying, we need to do this. What was your reaction? Were you like, hold off a little bit, this may be a little too much, or you know what, let's do it. What were your thoughts?
Well, I must say it was an aha moment for me. That's for sure. So I had my limited beliefs. You know, it's skepticism. It's like, you know, you don't believe anybody, especially when you come from New York. You know, we were around so many, you know, different people all throughout the day, and you know, each year that we're here. And it's just like you see and you could read everybody, you know, and coming to MM3 really changed us who we were, because I don't want to say we were a fixed mindset, but we were open to new ideas. And when we seen the energy and when we seen the values that, you know, you and Jake and the rest of the community had, it just really, it stuck with us. It hit home, you know, because it's like a family unity that we you know, that our communities is.
And when you say that, it brings back feelings for myself as well. For me, it was that middle-class mindset of going to work, putting in the time, doing your 30 years, hopefully there's a retirement, there's a pension. You guys had that mindset. What has changed from that mindset? What are you doing now differently that you weren't doing even a couple of years ago, as far as your investing goes?
Yeah. So, I mean, our mindset basically shifted, right? It was just like, yeah, every day we were doing the daily grind and it wasn't ever enough. Everything around us was going up. So it was just like, how do we create more income for ourselves in order to get ahead and create a better life for ourselves and our children? So that was the shift in mindset that we know it's never enough. And in inflationary times like now, it's even more so. It's like, okay, you only make so much, but we, you know, how can we do more and how can we make more? And so that's when we had to educate ourselves.
And what sparked your interest in whole life? How did you hear about it? What made you say, I need to get it right now? It's an asset that I need to start building upon.
Okay, I'll touch on this.
Go ahead.
All right. So I'm gonna start from the beginning. Okay. So 1999, my wife and I, we get married. In 2002, we bought our first house. And then after that, we decided to get our finances in order. So we took a little while before we did that. So we spoke with a financial advisor, someone who was recommended to Francesca, and we sat down with him, and you know, we went through the whole, you know, basic, you know, the Roth IRA, and you know, since you own a house, get your term life insurance. You know, I recommend you to get the term life insurance. So, okay, you know, that's what everybody does. I asked a few people, you know, they're all in the same boat. So we did that. And fast forward till about a year ago, I'm thinking now to myself, I have a year left on my policy. You know, I'm 47 years old. I still have a mortgage on my house, and my kids are just getting into college. So, you know, what do I do? Do I look into, you know, further pursuing another term or another different insurance? So it just so happened to be at the same time you came out with the 100 Year Life. It really sparked an interest in me. So I did a little due diligence on it, and I liked what I seen and what I heard. And it's where I got into a a call.
And you guys were young when you got married. Young when you married, your finances, you're not worried about stuff. And I did the same thing as you. When I first got married, I bought term life insurance. Thankfully, neither one of us had to use it, right? That's the great part. 99% of it never gets used, which is great. But it's such a huge income generator for people selling term insurance. And it may be good for a stopgap. But what happens is, are you either buying your insurance or are you renting it out? And now you're 47 years old, Jim. You're in the prime of your life. You've got another 25 to 30 years of income earning. You know, your kids and your grandkids, you want to leave a legacy to them. Well, the term is gone. And I think one of the solutions I heard you hear is, well, one of the problems that's being solved is now I will have something as I get older. It'll be fixed. Rates aren't going up. It's not going to lapse on me. I have the protection. I'm using it for certain things. And most importantly, I can borrow money from that and go into the real estate as well. Francesca, what were your thoughts as you were looking upon the term expiring and going, what do we do now?
Yeah, I mean, I also, for myself, you know, I'm a teacher. And so my mindset was I have to get a 403B, right? So that's what I did. And, I think it was a dot-com crash, right? Because I was working since 1999, dot-com crash happens and I lost some of my money. Then 2008 happens. And again, I lost 40% of my portfolio. So I knew deep down inside that this isn't sustainable for retirement for me. And so I was like, but I don't know anything else, right? And then again, with our children, we saved for 529. We did everything that you're supposed to do when you're a W-2 worker. 403B, which is someone's 401k, 529 for college, right? But it's tied to the college. What if my kids didn't want to go to college? I never thought that.
Or to get a full ride, a full scholarship.
Right. And then what am I going to do? I have to pay all those taxes. Mm. My 403B, I thought to myself one day, I said, what happens if I retire and another crash happens? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do then? I saved all this money and now it's gone. So
it was a pain point.
Yeah, it was a big pain point. So when we came across 100-year life, it was like, a light bulb went off. I can actually save money and use it for multifamily to buy real estate or college. It was like a no-brainer. It was like, this is great.
Plus so, on top, the insurance.
Or life plus insurance. On top, yes, having a life insurance for him. I have my own plan and for me. He has his own plan. So yeah, so that's where the light bulb went off. It was just like, doing this same thing that everyone thinks about, which is what we know, right? Wasn't working. So what else is there?
And let me ask you, did you get any pushback from friends, family members saying, hey, it's expensive. And I want to hear your story. Then I'll tell you what people told me early on.
Yeah, of course. They said, oh my gosh, you're crazy. That is so expensive. And I'm just like, yeah, but if you look at it this way, I'm able to be my own bank. Right. So if I were to save money and put it in the bank, what am I getting? Nothing. Right. But if I save money and I put it in a policy like this, I'm getting interest on it. I'm able to get a life insurance on it. I'm able to utilize it. I pay myself back. I'm not paying the bank back if I have to buy a car or buy multifamily, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Right. So that right there was like a light bulb.
And it's like, until you educate yourself and you know exactly what you're getting into, no one knows all the benefits. You know, once you borrow money against it, your money's still in there as like you never touch it and you're still gaining interest. So it's momentum, going forward. And it's kind of hard to explain that to someone, especially if they got a fixed mindset. So, it was definitely difficult in the beginning to try to get through to people to explain exactly what we're doing.
I'll give you a quick story. You both know my brother, Mark. I love my brother, Mark. You love my brother, Mark. But Mark sometimes can be a little stubborn. And I told Mark about a whole life policy years and years and years ago when we started. And he started skeptically a little bit. But one thing that my brother can't do is he's not a very good saver. So for those of you out there who really can't save money, the one way that my brother would save money is by getting a mortgage and paying down his mortgage. So at the end of a 20 or 30 year mortgage, he's got equity in the house. The other way was putting money into a life insurance policy for him. And it was a forced savings. It feels like an expense in the beginning, everybody, because you're just getting the policy going. It's like a business, you're funding it. But then after 2 or 3 or 4 years, the policy starts cranking. After 7 years, basically you're around break even. Let's say your life insurance, your term insurance is basically free after that. For my brother, he was able to start utilizing that policy to actually start investing in deals with Jake and myself early on. And one of his aha moments was, I wish I put more money in there because I couldn't invest on Jake and Gino's third and fourth deal because I didn't have the savings. So for those of you out there that aren't diligent savers or find it difficult, a policy allows you and it makes you discipline to have to pay that premium every year. You're investing in yourself. You're investing in this asset, which is whole life, permanent life, whole life, cash life, life insurance. You have that money where you're able to touch it. And Francesca and Jim, the 403B, you can't touch it until you retire. That money's sitting there. It's tax deferred growth. Great. But when Francesca decides to pull that money out, all of a sudden, 30% of that money is bye-bye. And you're saying to yourself, wow, I didn't know that. And I will guarantee you one thing on this podcast, taxes are going up in the future. So you're going to be paying more on taxes on that money in the future than you would be paying it today. So always think about that. It's called personal financial engineering for a reason. You're engineering your personal finances, and the better you get at it and the wiser you get at it and the more educated you get at it, you'll have a better quality of life. The quality of your life is dependent upon the quality of the options that you have. And now Francesca and Jim have a ton of options with this policy. They set themselves up for the future. They've set themselves up for the present, and they're able to take control of that money. I mean, if you guys want to add anything else to that, Francesca, I know, my brother, you can shoot him out some love, but it's true. For those of you out there that have struggling, that don't have that strength to save, it's a great way to start using it as a cash management tool as well.
Absolutely. I mean, as a teacher, I have a credit union, so I'm forced to save, right? I do that on purpose, but it's like, oh, it's doing nothing there. This is another great way to just save and create wealth for yourself, create wealth for your family. Mm-hmm. And
your children. Security too, because it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Last question before I'm going to get your email out there. I want people to be able to reach out to you, but how has your approach to long-termism changed? Because it really is a 100-year real estate investor. You're both really young. You're in your mid-40s. You've got, an amazing life ahead of you. I mean, planning for years and decades. How has that approach to long-termism changed for you?
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, to the point where we both were savers, right? But it was just like saving in a certain vehicle wasn't working for us. So it was just like, how do we create that extra, that push for us, right? And you know what's even better? How do we teach our children, right, another way of saving? Because we're taught the conventional way or the traditional way, the old school way. Put it in the bank, put it in a 403B, put it in 529. But we could teach our children that this is something, there's another vehicle you could utilize and you can create it to buy a house one day. You know, if you start it young, you could help yourself buy a house. You could be your own bank. So yeah, it's not just a long-term thought for ourselves, but it's also for our children.
That is awesome. I love that answer. And I'd love to piggyback on that for a second, because what you said to me really resonates with me. We're not just saving for an event. We're saving for the long term. As the middle class, what we used to do is we would save for retirement. We would save for college. Now, what you two are doing is you're protecting your long termism with the policy itself, but you're also saving to buy an asset which will pay for those events, which is the mind shift right there, everybody. That's the key. That's what happens when you start wanting to generate wealth. That mindset happens, and you say to yourself, "I'm not just going to save for college. I'm going to save to buy an asset that will pay for college." And by utilizing dual a strategy with whole life, it's an amazing way to do it. Now, I want people to reach out to you. If they have any questions about working with 100-year, if they have any questions about life insurance and how to utilize whole life for real estate or any other endeavor, you want to buy crypto, you want to invest in stocks, you can utilize it. Where can the listeners get a hold of you two?
Yeah, they could reach me at Francesca at Niveau, N-I-V-E-A-U, partners.com, or James.
James at Niveau, partners.com as well.
Awesome, guys. I want to really thank you for being on the show and just sharing your story of that transformation of the fixed mindset to the growth mindset. And most importantly to me, taking control of your financial future, helping the kids and planning for the long term. So I want to thank you both for being on and, have a great day.
Thank you, Gino.
Thank you, Gino.